Congress is currently on its August recess. It isn't scheduled to be back until the week after Labor Day. One of the issues it'll have to deal with this fall is the new trade deal between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, the one that would replace the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. The leaders of the three countries agreed to the deal last year, but it has to be approved by the legislatures as well. Mexico is good to go. The Canadian Parliament is working on it, but it's also on recess. The Trump administration says it's hopeful Congress will pass it, but Democrats and labor unions are hoping to see some changes first. We've got two Wisconsin-based perspectives on how lawmakers should proceed. Kurt Bauer is president and CEO of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Kurt, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob. Good to see you.
And David Newby is the president of the Wisconsin Fair Trade Coalition, former president of Wisconsin's AFL-CIO. David, thanks for coming up to the studio today.
Great to be here, Rob.
Kurt, let's start with you. You wrote an opinion piece in the Cap Times calling for Congress to ratify this deal. Make the case for it.
Well, we are a manufacturing state. We're an agricultural state, and we make and grow things that need to be, you know, have markets. And Canada and Mexico are by far our largest markets. About half of what we export go to those two markets. And those are growing markets for us, particularly on the dairy side of things. Here in Wisconsin, of course, we've got a crisis in dairy, and the last thing we want to do is make it worse by, you know, ruining a relationship that we have with Mexico. Right now, the number one source of purchasing of exported dairy products. So from our perspective, you know, we're a manufacturing state, we're an agricultural state, we want to make it here, we want to grow it here, and we want to sell it there.
And David, you had a response in the Cap Times saying the deal isn't all it's cracked up to be. What don't you like about the what's being called the USMCA?
Well, what Kurt just said is basically correct. However, the deal that's being proposed would not change that significantly at all. And in fact, in some ways would make it worse than we have under NAFTA. What Kurt is doing is essentially contrasting the newly negotiated deal with having no trade agreement at all. That's not going to happen. Given the supply chains that have developed under NAFTA, that is going to continue. What we need to do is to take the opportunity of this renegotiation to make it really work for workers and farmers and families themselves, instead of having a corporate-dominated deal that benefits really only the multinational corporations and big corporate agriculture.
But, David, I mean, President Trump seemed to be very open to the, okay, no deal at all possibility as this thing was being negotiated. It did seem like a realistic alternative that we'd end up with not a deal at all.
Very, very unlikely. And I think Kurt will or should agree that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, for example, has lobbied very heavily against simply canceling NAFTA. Now, Trump, you know, will probably publicly use that as a hammer on Congress, but the reality is that the business community itself is extremely set against that. They have already begun heavy lobbying against that, as well as for passage of the deal as is. And have also told the president that his support from big business and the corporate community is at risk if he actually considers seriously canceling NAFTA.
Now, Kurt, what do you see as an improvement in the USMCA as compared to NAFTA that makes it worth not just letting NAFTA ride?
I think the biggest aspect, NAFTA is 25 years old now. We're looking at a modernization. I think it provides a stronger, better, clearer rules for all parties involved. There have been some enforcement issues that have been denoted by our members. I think that this addresses them to some extent, although there's always challenges with trade deals, as we're seeing enforcement challenges with China. We don't have a trade deal with China, but you get the point. There's always challenges there. Bottom line is that we need to update a trade agreement that I think worked very well for the United States, certainly in Wisconsin's benefit. Wisconsin did very well under NAFTA. And again, you know, we're looking at our number one and number two trading partners, almost half of our overall trading relationship. So it's important to keep that up to date. It's important to modernize it.
Kurt, to David's point about labor standards, a concern leading up to NAFTA, since NAFTA, has been that If we don't do something about labor standards in Mexico, wages in Mexico, some communities will be hit hard by the loss of manufacturing jobs. There seems to be some evidence that that has happened. Even if overall the deal has helped Americans, there are places that have been hurt. Would it have been worth looking more into those issues for the USMCA?
Well, there are two ways to look at it. So you look at it from the Mexican perspective. Again, this is an update of what we had in the previous arrangement. I think, though, you're looking at Mexico is a different economy. They're a developed economy, but they're not as strong as the United States and Canada. This trade agreement will maybe address some of that, but we can't, through a trade agreement, make their economy exactly like ours, increase wages just like ours. I think that that's a folly to try and do that. They do have a new administration down in Mexico City. The new president, who's left-leaning, just enacted some new labor laws down there that will be codified in USMCA. And then from the American perspective, the best way to protect and grow U.S.-based manufacturing is to find markets for the products that we produce here, and USMCA does that.
Talking to Kurt Bauer from Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce and David Newby with the Wisconsin Fair Trade Coalition, formerly president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO, looking at congressional approval of the NAFTA replacement, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, still waiting for approval in Congress. David, what opportunities did you see in this process to change labor standards in Mexico, possibly to the benefit of American workers?
Well, let's take the issue of labor standards. There are some improvements in this agreement. For example, the requirement that Mexico reform its labor law to essentially outlaw company unions, which have been dominant in Mexico for decades. And they have preempted an independent labor movement that would have some ability to help raise wages and improve working conditions. That is good. And Mexico has, in fact, come through on their commitment. They have changed their law. But now the question is, will it be enforced? And unfortunately, the U.S.-Mexico Canada agreement does not include effective enforcement or monitoring provisions. There are discussions going on in Washington about making changes to what has been negotiated that would help a lot. But most folks, I think, don't realize that manufacturing wages in Mexico are actually a notch less than they are in China. So we, in effect, have China right on our border in terms of manufacturing. It's impossible for American workers to compete with those wage levels. We need very strong labor laws in Mexico. We could have some improvements here, too, which would be great. We're very much overdue. But in Mexico, we need those improvements so that Mexican workers themselves can organize and raise their wages so that we have more of a level playing field in terms of the cost of production between the United States and Mexico.
Kurt, do you see room for tweaks like what David is talking about?
Well, certainly there's, as long as all three parties agree to it, but that's a complication at this point because the trade negotiators worked on this and it was contentious, of course, and now it's before Ottawa and Washington. Mexico City has already passed it. So I think at the 11th hour, that would require Mexico to reconvene, and that is always a complicating factor. I think, though, David's not giving the American manufacturing industry enough credit. I mean, we are growing manufacturing jobs in the United States. We certainly are in Wisconsin. Our biggest problem right now is that we don't have enough workers for the jobs that we have. I mean, we have a lot of advantages to producing in the United States. We've got the intellectual property protections. We've got the innovations, the world leading R&D. We've got a very stable political and economic environment. We've got a high skilled labor force. We've got the strong K-16 institutions, post-secondary, and of course, proximity to supply chains. And of course, if we have trade deals, that's another advantage that the U.S. economy has. We're the largest economy in the world, and when we have these deals, those countries get access to our markets, and of course, we get access to theirs as well.
David, the case of manufacturing looking pretty good in the United States. Nothing needs fixing here.
Well, it has been documented by the government itself that we have lost well over 45,000 jobs, good family-supporting jobs in Wisconsin alone, about 1 million jobs nationally since NAFTA was approved. And NAFTA has had the effect, because of that low-wage competition, of keeping American manufacturing wages pretty much even. There's been basically no increase once you adjust for inflation. There's been no increase in the buying power of manufacturing workers' wages ever since NAFTA was passed. We need to change that. And working families need those changes so that they can improve their standard of living, which ought to be happening because the value of what they produce has increased dramatically. But that new value has gone entirely to investors and to capital, and the workers themselves have not seen the benefits of that increased value of production.
Talking about whether Congress should approve the new trade deal between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Both of our guests have written about that issue in the Cap Times. Kurt Bauer, president and CEO of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and David Newby, president of the Wisconsin Fair Trade Coalition, former president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. How about you? You can join in at 800-642-1234. Should Congress approve this revision to NAFTA, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, make the case for or against it? Are you a farmer or a manufacturer or a worker in one of those two fields who depends on exports to or from Canada and Mexico? What do you think of this deal? Do you think there need to be changes to our free trade agreements with our neighbors to the north and south? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about what the new U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement could mean for Wisconsin. Our guests are David Newby, president of the Wisconsin Fair Trade Coalition, former president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO, Kurt Bauer, also with us, president and CEO of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. You can read their thoughts on this a little more over at the Cap Times. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Should Congress sign off on this revision to NAFTA? What worries do you have when it comes to trade with our neighbors in Canada and Mexico? What does it mean for you here in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Kurt, we've focused on manufacturing for the most part so far. What other areas do you point to when it comes to the U.S. MCA agreement that you see as a big improvement over NAFTA as it stands now?
Well, again, I think it updates a antiquated NAFTA, 25 years old. The world has changed a lot. The economies have changed a lot. That what we're exporting to Mexico and Canada is a little bit different. That's particularly true, as I indicated earlier, with dairy. Since NAFTA was enacted, dairy has become a major exporter to Mexico, something that's growing and something that we want to see continue.
And what areas outside of manufacturing, David, are you focusing in on?
Well, let me first say that in terms of any kind of economic growth, the International Trade Commission, which is an independent federal agency that is required to do an economic analysis of any proposed new trade agreement, they came out with their report back in April. And in terms of economic growth, they have predicted that this new agreement, if there are no changes at all, will increase our gross national product by 0.35% over 6 years. Now, that is basically nothing. It's about $68 billion in 6 years versus our national economy that produces $19 trillion every single year. So in terms of economic growth, it's really not going to make any difference. The other area that we're very concerned about is an area that should not be in the agreement at all, and that is special protections for the drug industry, for pharmaceutical firms, and particularly with regard to these new biologic drugs that are based not on chemicals, but they're actually organically produced. Those are the ones you see advertised on television at night. They're usually incredibly expensive. And for some reason, in this agreement, pharma, the big lobby pharma, was able to get into the proposed agreement a 10-year prohibition against any kind of generic competition. Now, that means that Congress, which has said for both parties and the president, that they want to do something about high drug prices. One of the things that has been talked about is reducing the number of years where patents can be in effect and keep generics off the market. If this agreement is passed the way it's been negotiated, that will tie the hands of Congress and give basically lock in the extremely high prices and profits of these new biologic drugs. There's no reason why that should be in an agreement like this. It ought to come out, and that's one of the changes that needs to be renegotiated. Renegotiating is not a problem. Every major agreement that we've had in the last 10, 15 years has gone back to the parties for changes once Congress has seen and analyzed what's actually in the proposed agreement. So that should be no different in this agreement. Those changes can be affected, whether it's the labor standards or whether it's getting these protections for the drug industry out of there.
Kurt, do you see that as a possibility, whether it's the drug industry or other issues, the idea that Congress could give it a look and maybe get it renegotiated?
Well, as I said earlier, I think that that's problematic because this was hammered out over a long period of time, you know, three nations getting together and working out an agreement and then having to go back to the drawing board. I mean, there's always a possibility that the deal could get worse from that perspective. I think that this is, by and large, a very good deal for Wisconsin, for the United States, and I think that we ought to enact it as is. To David's point, though, about the pharmaceuticals, it's not a big area of expertise, but as I understand it, it's that provision is designed to be a protection for U.S.-based pharmaceuticals, which, of course, are the world leader in life-saving, life-altering drugs, so that they have protections on their intellectual property to recoup, the billions of dollars in investment and the, decades-long it takes to bring a product to market. So, if that is, in fact, the case, I think that that is a fair and logical protection for U.S. pharmaceuticals.
Talking about the USMCA agreement, Congress expected to take it up when they come back in a session. We've got Kurt Bauer from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce with us. Also, David Newby, former president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. I want to bring in a caller or two. Lou is with us in Bessemer, Michigan. Lou, hi.
Hey there. I was just telling your call screener that I was a tool and die maker for 40 years. When NAFTA was first brought in, the big rush was China. I mean, we were international, but at that time we weren't. But we ran to China. We found people that would work for 70 cents an hour, or it wasn't even that at the time, and where we were paying them 12 bucks an hour at a press there in Maquanago. Then we went to Mexico, and we found out we could get them cheap too. So they play this global playing of one another, and it's always been. I'd like to ask Mr. Newby, does he think that labor ever gets a fair shot or a spot at the table at any of these negotiations? Because I've watched it all these years, and
Lou, I'm going to jump in because we don't have too much time, and I want to get both David Newby and Kurt Bauer in on that. David, he asked you first, I guess.
Well, there is a labor advisory committee that has been very much involved in these negotiations. Unfortunately, in the areas of labor standards, environmental standards, where there are problems very similar to what I outlined for labor, and the area of pharmaceutical drugs, the advice of the Labor Advisory Committee was ignored, and that has been very frustrating because people really thought that this time labor would get a fair shake and we could make the changes necessary to make this agreement work for workers. But unfortunately, their advice was ignored, and that's why we have to go back to that advice and get these changes made.
And Kurt, Lou saying, hey, skilled workers like him were losers in effect in NAFTA, cheaper labor found in other countries. What would you say to workers in that position?
Well, manufacturing is a lot different than it was back in 1994 when we passed NAFTA. Manufacturing in the United States and certainly in Wisconsin is advanced manufacturing. Simple, processes are gone. Much of them have been automated. They're not likely to come back to the United States unless they can be automated. So we focus on the fact that we're an advanced manufacturing country. We're still the world's largest manufacturer. Wisconsin, the largest economic sector, is by far manufacturing, 20% of Wisconsin GDP, almost 500,000 people working in manufacturing. So manufacturing still thrives today, but it looks a lot different. It's the information age meets the industrial age. So it's a lot more computers, and there's going to be a lot more robotics in the future.
Just a few moments for each of you to wrap up. Kurt, you're hoping this passes. Are you thinking it's going to pass this fall?
Well, I tend to be a bit of a pessimist. I think that there's a lot of politics infecting this. I think that Congress does not, or at least the House of Representatives, does not want to give the president a major victory, and this would be a major victory on the eve of the 2020 presidential election. But I'm hoping that logic prevails, because I think that the opposition is largely political as opposed to economic. To me, this just makes sense. This continues the good relationship that we've had with Canada and Mexico, allows us to continue to grow it. And as I said, it allows us to make and grow things here and sell it over there. And that's what I think we all want.
And David, are you hopeful that some of the changes you're hoping for will end up coming out of the process?
We are. We're keeping our fingers crossed. The Fair Trade Coalition, which includes not only unions but also family, farm, and environmental groups, is hopeful that the negotiations that are going on in Washington will result in the kind of changes we've been talking about here. It's possible that if that doesn't happen, we will certainly organize to the very best of our ability to make sure that there is not a vote, it doesn't get passed the way it is. And if that means that we have to wait until after the elections next year, so be it. Let's get it right this time.
David, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Kurt, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Rob.
I've been talking to Kurt Bauer from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and David Newby with the Wisconsin Fair Trade Coalition, talking about the trade deal between the United States, Mexico, and Canada, waiting for ratification in the legislatures in the U.S. and Canada. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, the stock market's bouncing around. There's an inverted yield curve in the bond market. We'll find out what that means and what to watch out for in the economic future. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m., it's the morning show with Kate Archer Kent. Tomorrow at 7, burnout is a big problem at American workplaces, leading to concerns about high turnover. Kate and her guests look at the problem and possible solutions, and you can share your experiences at work. That's tomorrow at 7 on the morning show. Coming up next, it's news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Then, 50 years ago today, the Woodstock Music Festival kicked off. We'll find out what archaeologists working at the Woodstock site are learning. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.